Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Wow, seemed like a tough this morning. Leave my sermon at home and had to race back, turn back around. So I apologize for being somewhat late. I'd like to say just good morning and welcome the visitors and guests at 10th Street Church of Christ. We come. We encouraged by your presence. We just pray that we can reciprocate the same encouragement. Our objective for the day is understand. Our objective of the day is to understand how to walk in a Christian manner, to walk, to exhibit a behavior that is pleasing to God. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, it said, then walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Paul is reminding us, reminding Christians that we are to conduct ourselves in a way that's pleasing, not just physically, but the mental aspect of it. Always trying to please God. The second objective is to, we got to recognize, acknowledge that we cannot walk circumspectly in the life without being a Christian. You have to become a Christian to be pleasing to God. And the third objective is, we're going to fill in this blank. Are you blank? Your armor of God has no blank. We'll finish up. My prayers are that we take full advantage of the privilege and this opportunity to allow the God to correct any deficiencies that we have in our lives. Because it's vital that we recognize that our souls are in jeopardy. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and 12, he said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against power, against rulers of darkness in the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're at war with Satan. And Satan is applying his best efforts to capture our souls, persuading us to live in sin. Satan will use three forms of temptation, the physical need. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. And he used that temptation of hunger. He used the possession and power as he take Jesus on the temple, allowing him to see, wanting him to lust after certain desires, the power, control, and wealth. He would use that pride, that personal glory that we lust for. Understand that Satan would tempt us. Them three elements in temptation. But they come in various forms of temptation. He would use it in a way that's sophisticated, complicated, educated, suffocated, captivated, assassinated, opinionated, intimidated, manipulated, discriminated, frustrated, irritated, stimulated, liberated. He's going to come at you all kinds of ways. And then the end result is you sin. That's the mentality that he wants us to have. We're talking about some great people, some good people in this world who assume they're walking in a circumspectly light. I'm reminded that we can't make that assumption. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 9, verse 13, Ananias had an assumption over Apostle Paul. He thought Paul was going to kill all Christians. And he was proven wrong. In fact, Paul was one of the greatest apostles, and he also wrote 13 books in the Bible. Let us recognize that 100,000 people die each and every day, assuming that they're going to heaven. Die every day, assuming that they're walking circumspectly in the sight of God. We're talking about people who never committed a crime in their life. We're talking about people who took care of their obligations, their worldly obligations. We're talking about people who were neighbors, who's great neighbors to you and I. People who value people's lives. People who inspire others. People who give to the needy. We're talking about people who attend church regularly. Talking about people who are educated. People who are determined to do the right things. They are convinced that they are going to heaven, convinced that they are walking circumspectly in the sight of God. Without being a Christian, it doesn't work that way. We're dealing with a spiritual war going on. And the gods of this world have blinded their mind. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 4, he said, whom the gods of the world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Apostle Paul informed the Corinthians Christians that Satan has blinded the minds of many folks, including those who think they're walking circumspectly. We talk about 100,000 people each day who do not know Jesus. And this includes Christians. The Bible tells in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, he said, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, we're going to check ourselves to ensure that we're walking circumspectly in the sight of God. The scripture reading was Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and 17. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the root of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of the faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench of the fierce thoughts of the wicked. And the helmet of salvation, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We're talking about understanding this letter Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians. He wrote that in AD 62. Paul was in prison at that time, encouraging Ephesian Christians that they are in the army of Christ, that they should walk in the way like of a Christian. This letter applies to you and I, that we have the desire to walk circumspectly in the sight of God in the spiritual war. We get a fighting chance to get internal heaven, to get in heaven. So we're gonna look and observe and make sure that we have that arm of God that we need to fight this war, to be walk circumspectly in the sight of God. He tells us that we ought to have the belt of truth on. That's given, he said, that means that we are not giving into the world. He let us know that we have to have the breastplate of righteousness, being good, being honest, being humble to others. He let us know we have to have the gospel of peace. In Ephesians 6 and 15, he said, being right in the sight of God in troubled times. He said, the shield of faith, have that faith that in God and understand that God keep his promise. The sword, of the Spirit. It's that weapon that Bible that we carry around, the Bible that we have in our head. That's the weapon that's going to be our only defense that we have in this world. The helmet of salvation he's talking about. Believing in Jesus died for our sins. Church, to walk circumspectly, we must have the armor of God. We're talking about 24/7. Each and every day of the week, we must have that armor on. I'm talking about an armor. See, when you have that armor of God on, you will recognize that God is Jesus is the Son of God, Matthew 3:17. You will recognize that we need to let our light shine in Matthew 5:16. You will recognize that we need to make God the most important in our life, Matthew 6:33. When you have that light on, you will be in the church that Christ built, Matthew 16:18. When you have that light on, you will not walk, you will not worship God in vain, Mark 7:7. When you have that light on, you will be transformed for the renewing of your mind, Romans 12:2. When you have that light on, you will walk in the newness light with God, Romans 6:4. When you have that light on, you will pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. When you have that light on, you will have the mind of Christ, Philippians 2:5. When you have that light on, you'll walk by faith and not sight, 1 Corinthians 4:5-7. That's the mindset that we ought to have. That's the mindset that God wants us to have to be pleasing and acceptable in his sight. So the questions I ask today. Number one, are you walking circumspectly? Number two, do you have the armor of God? And number three, are you convinced you're ready in this spiritual war? So you got to remember something, though. In this spiritual war, our souls are in jeopardy. Also remember that God said in Genesis 3:1, he said that beast that he made is more subtle than any one of us. He's smarter. He's clever. He can do anything to persuade us to in sin. So the title of my lesson is Optical Illusion. Optical Illusion. We talk about a physical optical illusion where you may see a mountain in a city and look closer. And you just, I know I thought that in Spring Valley. I thought it was closer and I kept walking and it seemed like miles. I never got to the hill. Psychological. When you're stimulating the brain, your brain cells, and you look at colors, contrast, illumination, all that stuff that change the way you look at it, reality. And cognitive, the knowledge that you obtain, a knowledge that you, your perception. Let me give you an example. You look at this elephant here. I'm going to give you 1 minute. 1 minute to count all the animals that you see in that picture. 1 minute. Because I'm going to show you exactly how Satan would come at us and how the concentration that we need to have to win this spiritual war. It's an exercise, but in reality, we're going to see the importance of us understanding the concentration that we need to win is to walk circumspectly. I told you I'd give you a minute now. See, the optical illusion is many of us as Christians, we demonstrate love. We work in the church. We do work service. We're patient. We reject evil. We have that endurance to continue to fight the war. We loyalty to Christ. We demonstrate faith each and every Sunday here. We pray. We study. We worship God. We fellowship with one another. We grow spiritually. So we are convinced that we are walking circumspectly in the sight of God. But we don't reveal the things we are not doing up here. It's not revealing the things that we are not doing. You see, that would happen. See, we study Revelation and on Wednesday. And we found out that out of seven churches, seven mean complete. So it's all over the world. And only two of them was pleasing to God. Because their mindset, they were doing everything they wanted to do. They thought they were doing everything that was pleasing to God. But God says, Jesus says, only two are pleasing. Some of them were worshiping great. Some of them was chastising, rebuking those that call themselves apostles. They were worshiping in a way that was pleasing. They were doing good works. But God said, I got something against you. So we can't go with the optical illusion thinking we are great. We got to continue to study this Bible, continue to dwell in the Word of God. That's what the Bible wants. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking by, see who he can devour. He's not telling us to keep our minds on Satan. He's telling us to study this book. Observe the Word of God. Observe Jesus Christ. That's how you become vigilant. Keep our eyes on Satan. We're going to do the wrong thing. Our ears going to become itchy. So to understand how to work circumspectly, we're going to observe the greatest guy in the Bible. That's Jesus Christ. The Bible lesson can come from Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to read about four scriptures. That's it. And Jesus talking to his apostles. He says, and as they eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. We all know that because we read it so much and understand that it was Judas. Jesus knew that he was going to double cross him. Jesus knew that he was going to be dishonest, deceitful. Jesus knew that Judas was going to abuse his love, going to disappoint him, didn't care about him, didn't help to protect him. I want you to consider how Jesus felt. Think about the mental aspect of Jesus in the flesh, hurt, humiliated, heartbroken, horrible. Someone you've been with for a very long time, and it happened to you. It's happened to you. Let's continue. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and break it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. But this is my blood of the New Testament, to share for many for the remission of sin. Jesus had all the apostles sitting at the table, breaking bread with them, knowing that one of them was going to betray them. Yes, Jesus demonstrated this discipline, a discipline in his spiritual walk. The Bible tells us all in 2 Timothy 4:2. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exalt with all long suffering the doctrine. Jesus displayed his actions. Displayed the action in a matter of minutes of letting them know that someone was going to betray him. He still had the discipline to be walk circumspectly. That's something about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we all should try to cherish, all try to be a mind. See, Jesus didn't look at Judas as an enemy. He didn't look at Judas as a, when he looked at Judas, even though Judas was an enemy to him, he wasn't an enemy to Judas, because the Bible tells us Jesus walked the way he walked. He said in Matthew 5:44, he said, Jesus said, I said it to you, love your enemies. Bless them that hate you. Sitting at the table with Judas, knowing he's going to betray him, he still blessed them. Wow. How many of us are hung up for someone that betrayed us? Maybe years that we even speak to him. But yet Jesus, in a matter of a minute, is telling someone that he's going to betray him. Look, cross and still loved him. See, Jesus kept his focus on the real prize. The same mentality that we ought to have. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 3:2, let your affection be on things above, not on things on this earth. Our focus got to be there. To sit at the table and break bread with someone who doesn't even care about you. Jesus did not allow his emotions to get the best of him. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking put away from you all malice. Understand what he's talking about. Jesus had no bitterness, no long resentment toward Judas, no wrath, no anger, no glam. He didn't glamour, meaning he didn't speak loud to him, no railing, no abusive speech towards him, no malice, not even in his mind. Because Jesus understood the big picture. He wasn't careless in his spiritual walk at all. See, Jesus taught us a great lesson, huh? 5 minutes. Let's recap real quick and show you what Jesus did. So we can understand. Walk circumspectly. They had the discipline. He continued to love his enemies. Yeah. He stayed focused. So we're going to walk circumspectly. We got to stay focused on God. He didn't allow his emotions to get the best of us. Oh, this is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He wasn't careless in his spiritual walk. And he taught them. He taught all those apostles sitting at that table how to be disciplined, how to walk circumspectly, how to love your enemy despite of what they're doing. See what I'm talking about? See, it is the arm of God that we all have to put on. He had no defects. He was sinless. Jesus walked circumspectly in the sight of God. Sin is not allowed. Sin cannot penetrate our own. You know, we finished that already. Or you can finish your arm of God has no defect. Think about it. If lies penetrate your armor, your armor is no good. Gossip penetrated your armor. It's no good. Greed, excuses, laziness, selfishness. Any one of those sins penetrate our armor. We're not walking circumspectly in the sight of God. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, the wages of sins is death. We can't have enter heaven with sinful, being sinful. You could be 99 things, That one sin can cost you heaven, cost you your soul. Illustration is Ephesus in Revelation. They lost their first love. Did everything wonderful, everything great. Now, I promise you, as we get ready to end this lesson, I don't know how many of you guys got it right, but the elephant, that's 16. 16 animals are there. You see that optic illusion, how we play with our mind? It plays our minds. That's the concentration that we ought to have when it comes to God, Word. Wow. So if you're here today and you're not a Christian, and if you're a Christian, if you're not walking circumspectly, you need to hear the word of God. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2 and 37. Now when they heard that, they were pricked to their hearts how they crucified the Savior. And Peter preached to the rest of the apostles, man and brother, what should we do? And then Peter preached to them the gospel of Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection. You have to believe. The Bible tells us in John 3 and 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You have to repent. The Bible tells us in Luke 13 and 3, I tell your neighbor, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. You got to confess the sweetest name in the Bible, that Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, whosoever therefore confesses me before men, him I confess before my Father, which is heaven. And you got to be baptized for remission of sins. And we'll baptize you today if you want to be baptized. The Bible tells us in Galatians 3 and 27, many of you have been baptized and Christ has put on Christ. I'm asking you to come as we sing the song that has been selected. Will you come? This is the opportunity of a lifetime. See, God did his part by sending his son, Jesus Christ. This is your time. Will you come today? Will you come?